You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Join me on the line from outside of Bilderberg 2013 is Mark Anderson. Mark, you out there?
I am here at Bilderberg 2013, only about 3/4 of a mile from the Grove Hotel, where the Bilderberg people are meeting.
3/4 of a mile so you could see it then?
Yeah, it's a very stately place up on a very pretty green hill amid a golf course and a canal. It's a very nice place. It's too bad it has to be tarnished by these insider privatized government leaders in the private sector and government that are holing up themselves once again for another one of their annual confabs. So we're told they're all in there. We're told Prime Minister David Cameron is supposed to arrive despite earlier reports that he might not. And Hillary Clinton was virtually confirmed yesterday through photos taken by a team I'm working with. And we're doing our best. Davin Yawn, the former head of their steering committee, had his window down. He didn't even try and hide his face. That was rather humorous. So we got a very clear shot of him. The photos that we've taken in association with some people I'm working with, we've taken about 4,000 frames. So we're really reading the tea leaves here to compare the list to who we photographed. So there's some very interesting developments. The media interest has been better than ever before, but not everything they're publishing is against the Bilderbergers and in favor of the protesters and alternative media. Probably more than half of what they published is looking more at the protesters than the people meeting secretively in the Bilderberg meeting. So there's a lot of ironies, but all in all, it's a fairly positive picture.
Right. Well, maybe they figure they could discern something from the people protesting. Maybe they could discern more about the actual Bilderberg entity by the people who are protesting.
Yeah, correct. At least it's publicity. You know, all publicity is good, some people claim. They just say, just spell my name right, and I don't care what else you say.
Right, exactly.
So, you know, that's kind of an old quip. So
let me ask you, Mark, because we didn't get a chance to talk yesterday because you couldn't make the broadcast because it was earlier. I don't even know if you were aware of that. But we spoke on day minus one. We didn't get to speak on day one. This is day two, of course. What happened with you on day one? What were some of the significant things that occurred yesterday?
Day one is always the hard day when you're getting used to your surroundings, the security requirements, where to plug in your computer and how to do the job. It was mainly, really, quite honestly, swallowed up in technical and practical matters. What kind of food will they allow us to bring in and all that so we can establish a base of operations and be able to function? We did that. We've had a lot of good conversations with the police. Many of them are aware that Bilderberg is anti-union, anti-working class, anti-working man, and that if they had their way, they'd privatize all security. So the police, while they do protect Bilderberg ostensibly, are skeptical of Bilderberg, many of the officers. But that's been a big thing, is talking to law enforcement and making sure they know that we're not the problem and that they know what Bilderberg is about. And a number of them are, they're very nice here. I must say the UK police have been far more congenial and cooperative than in Virginia last year, when the police were reasonably cooperative, but had a very short fuse if anybody did anything even slightly out of line. You don't see that here. You see a lot of flexibility.
Right. Welcome to America. No, you were saying that day one was the day when they were going to start arriving in their limos.
Yeah, that was the main thing. Once we got the technical matters out of the way, was the stream of cars, the uproariously loud voices as they came in, the jeers, the scorn, the protests. Alex Jones, of course, a noted presence here in recent years with his bullhorn. But the cars coming in, confirming Hillary Clinton. Pretty sure we saw Henry Kissinger, Queen Beatrix of the Netherlands, even though she passed the baton on to her son, I believe. And just trying to confirm that and vet that list that has been floating around. You know, their lists are quasi-accurate, but the super sensitive ones, at the very least, they're not usually going to put on the list. Hillary was not on the list, and we definitely confirmed she came in. We have no reason to believe that photo is anyone other than her. And I have an associate here that's telling me something. You can go ahead and tell me.
Yeah, there's also an entrance right the back. Now, we've come past the entrance on two occasions, both days, and there's been a black car with blacked out windows coming into that entrance. We've been told by the police, under no circumstance will any cars be coming in the back door, but we're not allowed around the back to photograph. So.
Did you hear that, Dave?
I did hear that very clearly. So basically, the police are saying nobody's allowed to come to the back door.
Yeah, and when our photographers went back there, some guys carrying over from the Swiss Bilderberg meeting, people I'm used to working with, people I trust, they couldn't even walk on the sidewalk. You couldn't even be a pedestrian. I guess having a camera around your neck kind of doesn't help. They kind of know you're not just taking a walk. They claim the back entrances are not being used to enter the facility by the Bilderbergers. We have some doubts because we're not totally convinced that the cars that came in yesterday on day one, like you spoke of, we're not totally convinced that we saw enough cars to account for the 140 or or so elitists that are on the inside. So we think that some of them may have come in through the back, at least the ones not on the list. But Hillary wasn't on the list, and she seems to have come through the front because we have a pretty darn good photograph. And that was a big thing on day one, was Hillary coming in. And the significance of that, excuse me, I'm quite tired, is that, you know, she stepped down from Secretary of State. There was the Libyan debacle with Benghazi, and there's speculation, however distant it may seem, that she may be putting herself into position, having left the diplomatic post to run for president. God help us. I can't see how any good could come out of that. So why is Hillary here? She's no longer in the State Department. What does that mean with the Benghazi episode? What does it mean with her maybe running for office? They vetted her husband, Bill, in 1991, if memory serves, and then he was president soon thereafter. So is this the same thing now with his spouse? It's an open question. I don't have the answer, but it's an important question.
Definitely. And I was going to bring that up, that list that was released by the official Bilderberg website. That list might not be correct, right?
The best way to describe it is it's probably not complete. I actually trust that the names they do have there were invited, but there's two factors. Sensitive ones won't be on the list, and then they might have a couple no-shows. So it's generally accurate in terms of who they invited, but that doesn't mean they're going to reveal everyone they invited, and it doesn't mean everyone they invited can necessarily show up, particularly if they are a government official and something erupts in their home country and they have to change their plans. And so you kind of got to take it with a grain of salt. Plus, what I'm told is that I haven't had a chance to look it up yet, that at BilderbergMeetings.org, their so-called official website, that they, for the first time, have put some kind of very general agenda out there ahead of time rather than after the fact, as in previous years. They've only had this so-called website the last several years. There's a lot of crowd noise here, a lot of buzz going about here, a lot of excitement at times. You can probably hear it. But even though they put their agenda out there ahead of time, what I understand is, like usual, it's so general that there's really no way of specifically knowing what they're getting into. Something about cyber warfare and something about the European Union. But more specific things have already been reported in American Free Press. A story I did on the Brookings Institution, for example, talked about wanting a United States of Europe, a European North American Free Trade Agreement, and a one Europe army and one finance minister, one treasurer for all of Europe, meaning that Europe would have one army representing itself in NATO rather than all these different armies of Europe being members of NATO. So that's very likely, since the think tanks send people to these meetings, Brookings and others, Rand, Hudson, and so on. It's very likely that what the think tanks are saying have some bearing on all of this. So when they say a agenda item is the European Union, which is wide enough to drive a tank through,
right,
they very likely mean these broad brushstroke fundamental changes, because after all, these are the people that gave birth to the European Union itself.
How many people are actually there around the grounds alongside you?
I'm going to ask my sovereign independent friend his opinion. How many people would you say have been here today? 300, 400? Yeah, he's thinking 350. Counting the people that came and left, probably about 400. Yesterday, about 250.
Wow.
Tomorrow's supposed to be the big day with what has been called the Fringe Festival.
Mm-hmm.
There's been some concerns about it, that it might be a little too circus-like. But on the other hand, it does have some sizzle that calls more attention to this event. So it's kind of a mixed bag, depending on who you talk to.
Right.
But tomorrow, with David Icke having just apparently arrived, they're expecting a couple of thousand.
Wow. And is this guy from that area of the world?
David Icke is British, isn't he? Yeah, he's from this part of the world. And then you have Alex Jones having arrived yesterday. Whether actually 2,000 show up remains to be seen. I'm a little skeptical, but that's the prediction. 1,500, 2,000, where it's been 250 yesterday and about 350, 400 today. So it's growing.
Wow. Now compare that to even as few as just a few years ago. What was that like? Let's go back 5 years. Go back to your first one, because this is your fourth, right?
Yeah, this is my fourth. Spain, Switzerland, Virginia, now here, having worked with Jim the previous 3 years. And this would have been the first year Jim was unable physically to go, but still was going to work on it. But unfortunately, he passed away. But yeah, I'm told that when him and Pete Papaheracles, when they did it in Greece, I was told that them and the protesters numbered like less than a couple dozen.
And that was what year?
2009.
Wow. So 4 years ago.
Now we're looking at possibly a couple grand of people tomorrow.
Wow.
So that's pretty impressive. And the mainstream media coverage continues to be heavier here than in America. We've had the Times, the Telegraph, the Guardian, and another paper, the London Evening Standard, which actually put a picture of Obama among the other anticipated or possible Bilderberg guests.
Mm-hmm.
But the paper's article kind of just used that for a little glitz, because when you read the article, they're very doubtful that Obama, like I said, would play truant from the White House schedule. But you won't find find this in America, I literally called the Chicago Tribune and the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Post. And if I got through it all, I was more or less snubbed.
Well, this isn't a big deal, Mark. It's only 120 or 140 of the most powerful people in the world. I mean, why would you want to call these other newspapers? This isn't a big deal. And you mentioned this before with Jim Tucker passing on just in April, the end of April this year, not too long ago. Of course, Jim had in later years become somewhat of a celebrity. He was recognized by a lot of people. Of course, you had firsthand experience of that because you were swept up in this celebrity of Jim, because we talked about it last year, one of the interviews where they just came and they surrounded you guys. Now, of course, Jim has been doing this for decades. You just really started relative to him. Has anybody recognized you or recognized American Free Press, and has anybody wanted to interview you or American Free Press? Since American Free Press, they were the first kids on the block.
Yes. Matter of fact, I've given so many interviews, I've almost fallen over. They remember Jim. They ask me about Jim. They want to know what Jim was like. They thank me for taking over the reins. They like American Free Press in general, particularly because of Jim and his work on Bilderberg. I've given two, I think it's the Rick Santelli Show, which has a big listenership. I've given two interviews live on the radio for them, a whole bunch of documentary filmmakers, live stream people, Russia Today, which was Today, a affiliate of Russia Today, but they do direct work for them, a little bit talking with the mainstream media just to give them a little bit of direction and advice and our take on things, along with having interviewed two MPs, well, one member of the European Parliament and one member of Parliament. That'll be a good story next week in AFP. They had a lot of very interesting things to say, but I have given probably 14 interviews for live stream, documentary, and radio.
Wow.
Jim is almost always invoked one way or another, and it gave me an opportunity to reflect on his passing and how Jim and I were kind of friends before we got covering to Bilderberg together, and that this was the first year that Jim was going to write about Bilderberg but not be physically able to attend because he didn't want to do an international flight anymore, and that unfortunately Father Time caught up with him right after he said that. Jim is still remembered here despite all the bloggers and the Alex Joneses of the world, and without any disrespect to them, but Jim is seen as the trailblazer, and I'm glad that I'm somewhat acknowledged, reasonably so, for having taken over the baton, because the biggest thing I heard, Dave, was they were hoping AFP's coverage of this did not die with Jim.
Wow.
That's the overriding point. I'm so glad you're here, Mark, because we thought when Jim passed away that you guys would be out of the picture, that kind of thing.
That's amazing. Well, that's good
news.
Yeah,
I'm not exaggerating in the least. This is not grandstanding, just to make that clear.
So what's the next thing that's going to happen, major thing?
Well, really, it's just the nose to the grindstone to try and go over the list more and go through hundreds of photographs over the next couple of days. And one of the challenges is I work with people that aren't always staying in the same hotel. So I have to give them kind of what I'm looking for, and then they look to see if they have it. And then they might email me that particular photo. A lot of it is just the legwork to make sure we have the material, the photos, the audio broadcast, and the video footage we need, including what we're doing right now, to not just be here, but to be able to report this, to package it and report it in a meaningful way. And so you can't do a lot of sightseeing. You got to kind of keep at it. And I've got some audio of the MPs talking to me that we might be able to put on our website. I'll let you know that right now.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah, these guys were quite interesting. Michael Meacher and Gerard Batten.
Mark Anderson from Watford, England, about 3/4 of a mile away from the beautiful Grove Hotel where our Bilderberg friends are staying. This is June 7th. This is day 2 of Bilderberg. This is your day 2 Bilderberg update. Mark, we'll be talking to you tomorrow at some point. Just let me know when you would like to do it. I'll be available all day for you.
Very good. Circumstances willing, sir. Thanks for having me on. You take care.